Welcome to my podcast, What the Fuck Spirit. If you made it past that name, this is going to be the podcast for you. This is going to be a no holds barred, no bullshit, open and honest conversation with Maria Leggett, and that's me, about all things spiritual. It's time to begin talking in an open and honest way about what spirituality is and what it is not. We're going to discuss all things woo-woo, witchcraft, spiritual, medium versus psychic, energy healing, light work, shadow work, and any other bullshit that people want you to believe because it keeps them comfortable. It is time for you to grow. Let's go. You are about to listen to a recording where two friends sat down together on one evening and chose to do their quite legal medical marijuana together to relieve their own separate issues and decided to have a philosophical conversation while they were doing it. So sit back, relax, listen to, and enjoy the experience between these two amazing friends, which is me and my friend Jacob/Jackie O, who is an amazing Ruby girl from Dayton, Ohio.
Where are your thoughts going?
You brought these cards. I was eyeing the artwork on that side.
So these were a birthday gift from my friends. Mm-hmm. They're like one of my most favorite married couples ever. And they got me these as a gift. And they are Alana Fairchild's White Light Oracle. Enter the luminous heart of the sacred. Look how pretty.
Are they the couple or the one smells?
The luminous heart?
No. Like she can smell things.
Yes.
Yes. Well, yes. That probably sounded weird at first.
I'm like, what do you mean she smells?
Like she smells things. Like she... She knows things by scent.
It's funny. I'm thinking, okay, is there, this is literally where my brain went. My first thought was, I'm looking down going, goddamn, luminous heart. One of them stinks. Is there something metaphysically here that I don't understand? Some new term? Look how beautiful these are. They're like all duotone colors, nothing bright. Mm-hmm. But they're beautiful.
I like them. Yeah, they're really pretty. Who makes these?
They were Alana Fairchild.
I'm going to look through all these, but you can edit this part out. I like that they have, like, the little hertz on them.
Yeah, so you know the vibration of them. Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm. Mm. So, I was assembling things today in my house, and on one of the podcasts I was listening to, they talked about actively doing witchcraft in your daily life. And what practices did you do in your daily life?
That you knew of or didn't know of?
Meaning?
Well, because here's the thing. There are a lot of witchy things that we do that we don't realize are witchy.
Mm. Oh, like folky stuff.
Yeah, some of it. I mean, think about it. All these people, all these years. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Well, yeah, but your birthday's not every day.
It doesn't matter. But we grew up teaching our children witchcraft every year. And then there are other things that we do, right? So we all know that if you really don't understand, I'm talking about candle magic, which is what your birthday wish is. And you make a wish and you manifest right in that moment, right? Because you got fire in front of you. Think about it. You have the fire in front of you, the air of your breath, the physicality of your body and spirits right there. Mm-hmm. So blowing it right out to the four corners. Mm-hmm. Then we teach them how to pray every day. Prayer is manifesting and being grateful.
Yeah.
So they're manifesting and releasing and accepting. Of course, they also hex people in their prayers as well. Dear God, make Judy drive off the side of the road. And then when she gets in an accident, you're like, what the fuck?
I would like to think that this God wouldn't just do that because someone's pissed at Judy.
No, I agree, but it doesn't mean we can't wish it to happen.
Yeah. was interesting. I was actually, so you said praying for something bad to happen to someone. I was like reading about this thing where when people would invoke or to like move the hand of God along faster or like invoke wrath of God on people, it would only work if they were deserving of it. So it's interesting. It's like you almost could pray for that to happen. And if she had it coming.
Oh my God. And they don't believe in hexing.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, there's like stuff you're supposed to do along with it, but.
Yeah, but I mean, we teach our kids when they're little. Oh, I really want this. Well, if you pray for it really hard, maybe God will bring it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So in that moment, you're teaching your kid to manifest something that they really want.
Yeah. That's fair.
And then you make them question if God exists when they find out that you always said, pray to God that you get it. And then they realize that you're the one who needed time to save the money to buy it. Distorts your view on God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, if you're a God and you're real.
Or the, why don't my prayers work?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, you're setting them up on that one.
He's going to take a few more steps to get it to work.
What are the few more steps?
I don't know.
Girl, you lie.
Some herbs, maybe a candle. Maybe. You can just throw it in the fire.
Go find out when they're getting their hair due and go ask their hairdresser, I'll give you $10, you give me that hair. Don't you put that in the hair vacuum, you sweep it right over there.
That's a lot more coming from me. I know what this hair is for.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be $100.
That's right. You talked to the wrong bitch. We're going to make a deal on this one. What's brewing?
Nothing.
There's always something brewing. Don't you tell me nothing.
I'm always having 12 thoughts at once.
See, that's not nothing.
I don't know. My brain's been on witchy stuff all day. Because that's been all I've been taking in.
Well, because if you would start creating the classes you're supposed to be creating, we can talk about it publicly and get people to enroll and take them. Just saying.
It's a work in progress. I opened up.
Oh my God, I'm glad I had my mouth covered.
A very large can of worms.
You did open up a very large can of worms. You can't tell me, hey, you know what we could do? And I'd be like, yes!
Yeah. I'm working on it.
Mm-hmm. She'll be coming around the mountain.
That's right. I, the other day, started doing some more ancestry work. And it's interesting because I have family. It's like they came here and landed in Virginia and then made it into West Virginia, camped out there and like stayed in that kind of area for a while and then started to spread out for like jobs. Some went to Kentucky, a lot went to Ohio. It's interesting because I was like, what was it? Ancestry DNA sent me a 2-week free trial for their premium membership. And so, of course, I'm like diving in head first because I'm like, let's see what's going on here.
Have you done your DNA results yet?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am very Northern European. Yeah. That's really it. I had like 3% Asian, but most Northern European people do because it's like carryover from how people like migrated around the continents and all that good stuff. But yeah, very, very Northern European. Mostly like British Isles, some like like Northern France area, so probably like maybe like Gaul, and then like some up in like little Scandinavia, but not mostly the British Isles.
Yeah, when I first did I did mine like 6 or 7 years ago, maybe a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was before they had the like massively broken out segments that they do now, mm-hmm. right? Where they can like really dial it down. There were a lot less of them. And so my first DNA results, when I submitted them and I got them back, because I just wanted to know, what am I? You know, you just get curious. Plus, I always thought I was adopted growing up. So that always stuck in the back of my head. And which I did wind up actually doing a DNA test to find out that I am not adopted. That's how much I really thought I was adopted. And I was absolutely shocked when they told me that I was 44% British. I'm like, what? What? And now it's broken out into Wales is separated from Britain.
Mm-hmm.
But I am Wales, Britain, Irish, Scottish, and Norway, and Sweden.
Yeah.
And I just laugh. I'm like, okay, I am as white as gonna get.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe I can tan at all.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mostly just burn, and then I go back to my milky skin tone.
At least it's milky and not old and saggy and wrinkly like mine. Unless you're talking about like curdled milk.
I just mean like pale. But it makes my colorful tattoo stand out that much nicer.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually, because of my tattoos, like to not be in the sun.
So yes, they don't get faded.
Yeah, so they stay pretty and colorful.
How many tattoos do you have?
Oh, Lord. 1, 2, 3, 4. I think I just have 7 right now.
I like how you said, I think I just have 7 right now.
Yeah.
Which means that there's consideration for many more.
No, yeah, 7. I'm pretty sure 7.
And for anybody who lives in the Dayton area, if you need a tattoo, go to Black Skull Collective and ask for Brad. What was that for?
And I was like, that's not who does mine.
Oh, I don't care. You can talk about who does yours, but I'm plugging my son-in-law.
Oh, I go to Monkey Bone and see Leslie Hip.
Has she done most of yours?
No, actually. She's done my last 2, and I'm probably going to stick with her moving forward. She's really easy to work with, and she's very comfortable because I'm a stranger danger person. So
yeah.
Like, and plus, like, touch, especially stabbing me, is a very like,
oh, that's a big deal,
intense thing. What, well, she's a real chill, fun person.
That's what I was like so shocked about, because my son-in-law did mine. 90s
movies. It's great.
So I get my tattoo and talk about my grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
But so, because I mean, he's my son-in-law. So when he did this one, I was like terrified, because the one that I got on my shoulder, oh my God, I about died when I got that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think that one was bad until I got the ones on my forearms, and those really hurt.
Oh yeah. That's spicy.
It is very spicy. My left one was bad, but my right one, this is where I could no longer refused to believe in aliens. I had no choice. When I got this tattoo, which is a Hamsa that has the 4 directions, a bunch of other stuff on it, this one hurt like literally as though I had just put my arm right on a open fire and burned myself. It hurt that bad.
Oh yeah.
And I was laying there and I was all but in tears.
Stays there.
Oh yes. And I was laying there all but in tears. And I said, Spirit, please send down a healing angel. I cannot do this. This is pain beyond pain. Please take this. And I'm laying there, and all of a sudden, I shit you not, I felt these 2 very gentle, warm hands lay right on top of where my tattoo was. And it was as if something numb just numbed my arm, and I felt so relaxed, and I felt this big presence, and I'm like, okay, what am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? And I couldn't not. So I like just gently rolled my head like that, and gave a side eye. And there was one of those ETs, you've seen them, with like the really long blonde hair that has the like pokey thing. What is that? A widow's peak. I have one. I should know better. Mm-hmm. Has this really deep widow's peak, and it's all white, long hair like this. And he was in like a bluish, silverish robe.
Are you sure it was a he?
No, it could have been. It could have been non-binary, but.
So there is, it's a prayer that they use in Appalachian folk magic, and it's for people who can take the burn out of things. And they talk about, they call an angel down from a direction, and it's either from like the north or from the east, depending on what area of the mountains you're living in. And they'll say, you know, God sent this angel from this direction, bearing fire and ice. Take the fire and make it ice. And it's supposed to help take the burn out of things. But if you trace that back through the different areas and through time where it came from, you can trace it all the way back to, I want to say, Ireland, where they are calling on Brigid to come and take the burn away and like cool it off and heal it.
Oh.
So it's just interesting because you talked about Brigid earlier. Because I think in like, up, I want to say up in a region by like Canada, they use the same version of that. I could be totally mistaken, but it's in one of the regions of Appalachia where they talk about, it's not an angel, they talk about a bride, and a bride was common for Brigid, and so there's a connector there over, because Appalachia extends all the way over into the British Isles in Northern Europe. Chased it all the way down, and it sounds like you kind of intuitively did that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Of course it could have been female. But I'm telling you, whatever it was not of this earth. There's no way. And it just, I was absolutely shocked when I turned and looked. And the weird thing was, is they didn't have teeth like ours, and I was actually allowed to see that. Because I looked at them, and they just looked so sweet and innocent. And I said, yeah, but you know, I've been told that sometimes you look different. And he just showed me they were, which I thought was kind of funny. Have you ever seen the Coneheads from Saturday Night Live? I mean, you're young.
Yes.
But have you seen them?
I used to love that movie.
So you saw it as a movie. I saw it was on Saturday Night Live at like 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
I used to stay up with my brothers. And so all those little sharp teeth. And that's kind of what this ET looked like. I'm like, oh my God, did they really like, they had to have seen that for a reason. But it was healing me, and it was a very peaceful, loving, I didn't give two shits what your teeth look like, man. You could look at me and smile and have no goddamn teeth. You're taking that pain away.
So I don't ever, like, really vividly see stuff. If I really, how do I want to describe it? If I really, I just call it feeling it out. Like, if I really feel out whatever it is I'm feeling, because I can, like, feel something there, and it's like, there is a person sitting next to me, or there is one standing over there sometimes. And if I really feel it out, I can start to piece together, like, oh, did they wear glasses that look like this? Or did they have their hair like this? And I think sometimes it's funny because hair is often the first thing I start to see. And I think it's because I'm a hairdresser. Like, that's the first thing I look at. Yeah, but I almost never, sometimes like from waist up I get a shape, but I don't ever get like a super vivid thing. Sometimes I have dreams of being in spaces where I just had been, and then like whatever was there I'll see very clearly in the dream, and that's crazy.
Why is that crazy?
Well, it's not crazy, it's just like wild when it happens.
Oh yes,
because you're like vividly in the space and you're moving through it and you're seeing the things that you felt earlier. So you're like, oh. The first time that ever happened to me, I was at like a little sleepover, and it was like me and my cousin, my cousin's really good friend, and I don't remember, it was a whole bunch of people, and her mom was hosting us at her house, and it was like out in like Mechanicsburg or something. And they had this bigger house, and they had this like little, like, I don't know, like a, well, it was like little insert kitchens. There's like a fancy name for it. What's it called? A gallery? No. I have no idea. But anyways, on the far side of the kitchen, there's like a little folding door, like the little accordion style guys. And on that far side wasn't an extra room, but they had turned into a bedroom, and it's where they kept... Oof, I'm just, like, thinking about it now. The dream's coming back, and I'm like, ooh! It's where they kept her... It would have been her father-in-law while he was at the last stages of his life. Mm-hmm. And he was a very, like, angry person. And I just remember her opening this door and feeling, like, this, like, just wave. And it felt like, you know that feeling you get when someone's, like, yelling at you? It was like that, like, over and over and over. And it was very intense and heavy. And I physically remember, like, moving back away from the room because I was like, what is going on here? And, later that night, I'm, like, dreaming, and I vividly remember, like, getting up, like, I have to go to the restroom, and as I'm walking, I walk by, and the door comes swinging open, except the room is how it was supposed to be, because when we looked at the room, hold on, gotta get the jitters out, When we looked in the room, there were boxes and things all over the bed and on the floor, so, like, you couldn't really get in there. When this door was open, it was clean. And there was someone sitting on the edge of the bed with his back to the door. And I go to walk over, and I'm like, hey, what's going on? Because it sounded like this person was crying. And then they get up, and they're like, what the hell are you doing here? Get out! And they charge the door so much, so quickly that, like, I feel this, like, push, and they slam the door shut. And I audibly hear the sound of the door slamming. It, like, immediately wakes me up, so I'm back on the couch. Like, because, like, I was up interacting with whatever this was in my dream.
Oh, my God.
But when the door slammed, I woke up, and I was on the couch. But I could hear the door slamming, like, so loud and clearly, and it pulled me from dream to awake so fast that it seemed like it happened like in the waking world as well. I was like, oh
yeah, weird, isn't it?
Uh-huh. But of course I was probably the only one who heard it.
Yep, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was crazy. I had a lot of my one cousin I think could see ghosts and things because would interact with a couple things. Like, she was around when that instance happened, and she was also around when we had a friend whose house they said was haunted because a little girl fell down the stairs, and the little girl's name was Abigail, and they had a medium come in and, like, tell them about her and how she passed and all the things that, like, she liked to do. And she didn't mind that people were there, but she liked to play games, and so she would, like, hide stuff. And what was so wild to me is that things would go missing. And, like, the mom would get really angry, and she would yell like it was one of her own kids. And she would say, Abigail, if this thing is not on this table by morning, I'm getting you kicked out of here. And she's, like, being, like, whatever. And it would, you would wake up, and sure, it would be right there, like, on the end of the table, same spot every time.
I believe that.
Wild. And they would tell me all these stories, and I'm like, me, I'm always very skeptical.
Which cracks me up because you are such a good medium, but whatever.
I'm always like, okay, sure, whatever. And so they take me downstairs to where the little girl supposedly fell, and the medium told them that her aunt may have pushed her, and she went down these stairs in the basement and broke her neck. And so they take me to this spot, and this spot is discolored. And the girl who lived there said, yeah, they've painted over a bunch of times and they can never get it to, like, be the right color. And I'm like, okay. And I'm standing there, like, a little frozen because I'm looking at this spot on the floor like, oh, my God. There's this, like, this, like, just like this, like, I don't even know. I'm doing this gesture with my arms right now that I can't describe, but it's just, like, coming at you. You're like, oh my God, this is real. Who brought the Bible? We're in trouble. And so we're, like, looking around the basement. And she says out loud, she was like, hey, Abigail, if you're here, let us know in a way that's not dangerous. And this is, like, what I think is so weird. And so I go outside at one point to go out to my cousin's car to grab something. And I'm like, trying to, for the life of me, to remember what it was. Probably cigarettes because we were delinquent. But I'm walking, and as I'm walking back, there's this small window in the basement, and it starts like banging, like boom, 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 boom. And I freak out, and I'm thinking, oh my God, that's my cousin. Here we go. And I run in there, and I'm screaming, and I'm so angry. And I'm like, that's not funny. We just did this stuff in the basement. It creeped me out, and now you're trying to play jokes on me. And they're like, what are you talking about? And I said, you were banging on the window in the basement. And the girl who owned the house was like, oh, no. No, we can't do that. I was like, what? And she takes me back down to the basement, and there's this large, like, hutch thing pushed up against the basement wall that is blocking that window. So they would have had to physically have moved the whole thing, banged on the glass, and moved it back. And I would have heard that.
Oh, yeah.
They would have been out of breath, like, when they got there. Something. It was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But my cousin claimed to have, like, seen her laying next to her in bed, like, perfectly could see her.
Oh, Abigail?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And what was strange is that several years later, my sister... Oh, hold on. Maybe I'm connecting weird dots. My sister described seeing a little girl following her places. Because she saw it at school a couple times, and then one time it followed her home. And she saw it, like, near the house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Which, like, checks the box for, like, a banshee.
It does.
Yeah.
So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Thank you for listening to this episode of What the Fuck Spirit with Shelley Leggett and Jacob Sams. We had such a good time together, and we have more episodes coming. Enjoy, and I can't wait to see you for the next one.